Okay, you can turn with me to Proverbs 21:5. Earlier, Kim referred in the testimony time, Kim Sabatino referred to this message that I spoke a few weeks back and about are you led or are you driven? And when I shared it, it was a great message. But how many of you know that every word that you get gets tested, and it needs to? Because everything in our life needs tested so that it's proven that it's authentic. And we live in a world of advertisers, and how many of you have learned that the packaging can look better than the product? That the advertisement can be very impressive, but the reality can be different than that. Yeah. So what do we want? So why do we, this is why we read the what do you call it? The
fine print.
That too. Yeah, the reviews, the stuff. How many stars that have the reviews, you know? And that's the first thing. Like, people are more prone. You see a product, especially if you're buying something online. Are you not more prone to go look at the reviews? Because all the blah, 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 yeah, maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's 10 acres, but maybe it's swampland in Florida, you know? And so, or on the side of a mountain. And did you all hear this? Gosh, I took the girls, the sisters, to the Christie Mission down in Tennessee. We were actually still in Tennessee, weren't we? And Phyllis and I had been there a year ago. We found the actual place of the location where the story came from, the book Christie. And the girls have read this multiple times. Are you on number 12, Phyllis? Now they have it on audiobook. So it's a very amazing story. Great story based on some facts, and we found the actual location. It's not commercialized, but the descendants of the individuals that were involved have kept this property. They have 200 acres in the Smoky Mountains that they welcome people to come and visit. They have picnics there, and they have things keeping this alive. And it's really the story of some real genuine people that ministered to the mountain people, and it was a very serious situation to step into to minister and bring life and hope to. Anyways, we're talking to this man that's one of the descendants, and it's getting more difficult for him to walk. His name is Larry, and he invites you into his house. I mean, this is like, it's pretty cool, and talks, anything you want to know. He has all the information, and he's just passionate about this. It's his really life calling to talk about what happened there and to relate the story and the facts of the story. And he offered to take us. He goes, I can take you up to Rocky Top, the real Rocky Top that the song was, you know, made about. Rocky Top, you've always been, you know, that one. And we're like, really? Like, you know, this he can hardly walk. You know, I'm like, you're going to take us. He says, yeah. And so we took him up on it. And why not? We get in his Blazer. And me and Phyllis and Karen and him. And we drive around and we start going up a real mountain. And he just slowly, you know, it's one of those where you're looking down over the, no guardrails. You're looking down over the, yeah, further than what you can see. He takes us clear up to the top, so it just was a neat thing to do, neat time. And I don't know why I'm even telling you all that story, except that I took the girls up there. So we had a great day together, though, and went out there and just talking and visiting and doing whatever. So it was good. And there's some point I went into all that, but yeah, it probably had nothing to do with that. That was just like. You ever take off on a great trail and it doesn't really go anywhere? You go, back to the main. Yeah, it's like, it's still, you're it's still a good walk, you know, so. But not that, a lot of other things, while that word got tested that I gave, I didn't even realize, you know, like I, when I was giving it, and like I got tested in it, like, whoa, am I going to be led or am I going to be driven? And when the driving winds, there's a wind, as Stephen DeSilva was relating this message that I actually was inspired by, he said, you can feel the wind driving you. Now, this isn't the good wind of the Holy Spirit. This is the driving wind. This is the wind that's pushing on your back, you know. And that shows up in all kinds of scenarios in our life. And hopefully you know what I'm talking about. When all of a sudden there's this urgency to do something that wasn't planned, and you feel and you relate to the other people around you, I have to do this now. It's always a dangerous, it always kind of makes me nervous when someone comes to me, I have to do this now. Like, I can't tell you you don't have to do it because I don't know. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But boy, you can't you feel the anxiety in that thing? And it's difficult sometimes to say, no, you shouldn't do that. Maybe it's screaming inside of you, but you're like, I don't know. Or maybe you'll ask some questions like, are you sure? This, that, you know. But typically when a person feels driven and they haven't exercised discipline in that area, they're probably going to go there because it's that powerful. And you're convinced it's the right thing to do. And so here's this passage in Proverbs. It's an application of what's here. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. And when Stephen DeSilva is writing out this message, he does this bum, 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 either or. And he says, diligent or hasty, like making plans, being diligent, knowing what's, you know, how to do something, having a plan in place versus being hasty, fast decisions. And then he said, or advantage versus poverty, like being, having the advantage of a position in life, whatever the situation, opposed to poverty. Poverty always speaks of desperation and need, doesn't it? Like that's the problem with poverty. Poverty's not anything to be proud of, because poverty, it's living in lack. It's living in not having enough. It's living in that state of mind. And if you're not careful, that can feel, that can, religion loves to tap into poverty. It's actually religious. So it's hard. Many of us are trying to make this adjustment in our mindset about living in the blessing of the Lord. It's not that you don't have to do without things. Like that, it's not about that. It's not about making good decisions. It's this other thing where your whole mindset is not having enough, and it causes you to live in a really bad way. It's a mentality. We fight it in our area really bad. There's a strong spirit of poverty in this whole Appalachia, whatever we live in. And us being here, having this building, overcoming what we have is a testimony of doing that against the current of poverty. The fact that our church is here and prospering is totally going against that spirit that's here in this area. Or being led versus being driven, or sheep versus pigs. Now you're like, well, I don't want to be a pig. You know, I don't want to live my life like a pig. I want to live my life like a sheep. Even though sheep are not impressive, if you actually see one and smell one and hear one, you're like, oh. You know, I remember on the farm one day, my dad was like this. We had a dairy farm and there were animals. And one day he comes home with two sheep in the back of the truck. Like he was at an auction and must have not have been able to resist. You know? And I remember being in the farmhouse, it was getting close to milking time, and he came home with the truck, and I heard this sound of sheep, blah, blah. Yeah, it's an ugly sound. There's nothing beautiful about sheep, blah, you know. It sounds like throwing up with your voice, yeah, blah, blah. Lambs are cute, sheep are not, you know. Puppies are cute, dogs usually are, yeah. Anyways, and I remember looking at them, and I'd been around them when I was really little, but here I was as a young adult. I'm like, wow, Lord, there's nothing impressive about this. You call us sheep, and like, wow, ouch. But the purpose for the analogy was that sheep know the voice. They know the voice of the shepherd by nature. They'll listen to the voice and they'll listen for that voice, and they don't listen to another voice. And they have to be led places. You don't chase sheep. We had cattle. They had to be driven and controlled. But sheep were different. They come to your voice. They're different by nature, and that's the purpose of the illustration. And that's, we want to be sheep. Pigs, unless it's a pet pig living in your house, it doesn't come to your call. You know, here, piggy, you know, unless they're, you know, maybe you'll get them to come to eat, but typically they return to their mud. So I don't want to be a pig. I want to be a sheep. I want to be led, and I want to learn how to be led. And could I just say this? Being led by the Spirit and doing that well is for the mature. So it's a mark of maturity. It's not a mark of immaturity, being led by the Spirit. Because truly being led by the Spirit is not about just doing what you want and not wanting. This is why it's for the mature. Like, you're called to maturity to be led by the Spirit. Galatians goes into this thing, again, this go, oh, the law was in place to be a tutor to you, to teach you how to live. But for the mature, we want to live by the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. You want to walk after the Spirit, but it's for the mature. God takes a big risk when he says, here's how I want you to function and live. I want you to be led by my Spirit. The gentle wind, the voice inside, the discerning Spirit that's in you. And so, but this, do not mistake this for a life of, I just do what I want to do and I don't do what I don't want to do, because it's not that. There are times when I feel led to do something that I'm really excited about. Oh yeah, I feel led. This is good. I'm feeling it. There are other times when I feel led and it's on, I don't want to, like, but it doesn't go away. And for many reasons, you have this argument, you have this hesitation, you're trying to weigh it out, use discernment, but it stays because it's what the Spirit's saying to do. And if you follow it, you come to joy and peace, even if it's a hard thing. If you don't follow it, depression, I guarantee you this, you cannot take medication for this, depression will increase exponentially almost immediately. It'll show up on your face. Right here, a fallen countenance. I remember one day, I was just right down over the hill in the woods. There was a time when I was cleaning that out just for play, for pleasure. It was just kind of a neat getaway. And this was years ago. And I'm back there working. I think I had a horse or two that my dad had given us. And so there were things. I was building a little bit of pasture or whatever. And there was something going on at the relatives on my, it would have been on my mom's side, family. There was a gathering. And I feel like I'm supposed to, I feel this urging to go, like it's there. But I don't want to go because it's hard. And all day long as I'm working, this is coming and coming, and I'm down there working just because I'm away in the woods. Dwayne and Senior have a place down over the mountain where they play. It's very scary down there, but don't fall in the river. But all day I wrestle with this. The time came and passed to go, and in the end I don't go. And man, by that afternoon, I felt so, I still remember it. You really remember things you have emotions about. I remember feeling so depressed. Now, there was no right or wrong. It wasn't a sin to go, to not go. It was nothing like that. It was just something that I was really strong and I never went. And man, did I just crashed after that. Like, whoa, I was just so aware. I don't know why it was so intense, but I'm just saying, follow the Spirit. It may or may not be what you want to do. So that's not the qualifier. I do what makes me happy. That's carnal. That's not what this is about. This is about discerning in your heart and what is the right thing to do and what you're to do, and following that and doing that. And that will bring you joy and peace, even if, and especially if it's hard. I'm going to actually, I'll give you a money back guarantee on that. Do something you genuinely know the Lord's saying to do, and you're like, I hate my life right now. Push through and do it. Money back guarantee, you will be happier afterwards if the Spirit was saying to go. I know that's true. I just know that's true. You'll have a sense of overcoming. You'll have a, your confidence will pop up a little bit. You'll feel right about that. It's not in a bottle. It's in this. It's not in indulging in a bad habit. It's right here. Following the Spirit, obeying the Spirit, it will your countenance will lift. And so being led is for the mature. It's not an excuse to just do what you want. Sometimes it'll be something you're all in, and sometimes it'll be difficult. We were watching a Q&A. There was a conference out in Bethel, and we've gotten to watch some things from it. Was it Heaven Come conference? What's that?
Open Heaven.
Come, Heaven Come. Come. It's all the same. Yeah, they just turn their words around. They use about 3 or 4 words, and everything they do is just like, first this word's first, and that word's second, then they take that second, and that's a different thing, and that's, you know, anyways. There was a Q&A, and the people on the question, this is really amazing. Mike Bickle was on this. He doesn't go out too much, but he was there at Bethel at this conference. He was on this Q&A. Eric Johnson was leading the questions, and Bill Johnson was there, his dad, and John Bevere, who we've known his books for years and years. He's very popular. These are like 3 excellent leaders, write book, accomplish great things. You know, they're like ching, I Ching. They're right there on the top of success in ministry and integrity, and like they're right there. Impressive guys, all 3 of them. And here's what, there are many things that were great about it, but here's what I want to share. 3 men that are uniquely different in how they function in life, but they're sitting there as true comrades and comrades in the ministry, no tension between them, but very different. And what was beautiful about them was that here are 3 individuals that have come to terms with who they are and who they are not, and they're okay with it, and they don't mind saying it, and they're sitting there different in how they function in their ministries, but no apologies, and they're totally free. And you go, wow, I want to be like that. And how you get like that is this, that you, all of us, have to discover what our thing is, what our gifts are, how we roll, and what matters to you. It's about being led by the Spirit. It's about knowing what the Lord wants you to put your emphasis on and doing that. And I said to Phyllis, I said, it's so tempting. Everything we get to, we want to try to make everybody like that or do that. It's not about that. It's the wrong way to approach life and ministry and witnessing and all of that. Influencing your family, which is a great thing, but don't do it wrong. Do it right. And the thing you can control is you. You are an influence if you are fully who you are supposed to be. That is the greatest influence. Let them ask you the details that you're dying to tell them. I challenge you to do this with your kids. Because when you're very oriented at telling them all the things they should be doing, they're still watching you behind closed doors. They still know what's reality and what is just you lecturing and saying how they should do something. Yeah, about that. There was an old saying. I saw a picture on, something flashed up on my phone, the news feeds, whatever, and it was a picture of, I want to get this right, Captain Kangaroo. And the question was, how many people actually know who this is? Go ahead, raise your hands. I'm curious. Like, so, wow. Even Gary, you're a young'un and you know Captain K. Amazing. So here were these men that were truly who they were. They found who they were. They were very clear about that. And they were an influence because they were fully who they were. Like they were resolved with that. And the quote, Captain Kangaroo that would say, you can fool some of the people all of the time and all the people some of the time. Or this was Captain Penny, who was another right beside him. Yeah, it was actually Captain Penny. It was actually Captain Penny that said this. You can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool Mom. Why is that? Because Mom has discernment. You come and tell her a lie, and she's just like, mm-hmm. So we discern what's really true, and the people we're truly influenced by are the people that are fully who they're supposed to be. And you can only be fully who you're supposed to be by hearing and tapping into the Spirit, lest you just imitate somebody else. And imitation's good for a while, but at some point, you got to start writing your own book. You got to sing your own song, right? At some point, you've got to transition into that. Jamie Buckingham was a great writer. He's passed on now, but I remember years ago reading that he says, before I write, I start reading somebody else's writings, and that gets the creative juices going in me, and then I can write my own thing. And I'm like, isn't that cheating? It's like, no, he had no apology about it. This stirs me up. This is what gets that going, and then I turn over here, and I'm creative. I don't imitate that, but it affects me. It influences me. It stirs me up. So we see all these passages. There's Psalms. There are things in the New Testament about being led by His Spirit and the value of that. And when you see people that have truly found who they're supposed to be and they're good with it, they just go after that. It takes courage because it'll probably look different. And this isn't about questioning what is actually black and white sin or not sin or ethics or those things. It's just the uniqueness of who and what you're called to be. And it's the beauty of a body that were unique in sometimes even convictions and in our priorities. And it's tragic when we as leaders, and you're all leaders in some respect, that you're trying to force everybody around you into that same thing. And you have to discern what are actually the things that you should speak up on, and there are other things that you just need to be this person, be true to that. Don't make excuses, don't make apologies. What would a body look like if it was full of a group of people that have come to truly know what they're supposed to be doing, and they do it with all of their hearts, and they allow everybody else to do what they're supposed to be doing in vision and ministry and function? That would be amazing. Because when you're trying to imitate someone but you don't have the grace for it, it's not what you're actually supposed to do. It is impressed with as you may be with somebody. You've got to come to the point where you sing your own song, where you have your own thing. You know, just a side thought on that is that I love all the worship music that I listen to, but at some point I have to sing my song. I have to sing myself. And we can be, there's something that happens to you when you sing. And, you know, maybe it's best for some of you to do that in your car when the windows are up and you're driving by yourself. But your song is important. Your song is important. Your worship is important. So don't ever not do that. Because it's not about the beauty of your voice. It's about about what's in your heart coming out. Sing your own song. Write your own message. Now, like this, there has to be expression. If you only observe, like our culture is, we're terrible TV watchers. Do you know what happens when you watch TV, don't you? Unless you're into a great, some great game, sports, whatever, that you're interacting. But for the most part, we sit there, no expression on our face, and just watch. We desire that because we don't want to think about things. But the tragedy of it is you're not being creative. How many of you know you're not being creative when you watch television? Whether it's right or wrong for you doesn't matter, but you're not creative. You're zoning. You know, in your mind, your head's just going, you know, because that it's the end of the day and that's what you feel like doing. But it's so important for you to be expressive. It's so important for you to be creative. This is where the Spirit can meet you, and this is where He can really lead you and tap into this stuff. In John, turn with me to John 16. Let me see if that was the verse that I was thinking about. John 16, verse 13. Why was that? Yeah, this is a passage. It starts in verse 5, where it really starts talking about the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, it says, Now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me where you are going. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Interesting. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you, and when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you in verse 12, but you cannot hear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, verse 13 is going, here's what we're getting to. When this happens, your life's going to be different. The Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you in all truth, and He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. I think I'm even getting this as I read it. I'm getting more as I read it right now at this moment. I'm just feeling that. Jesus Christ, the perfect man, perfect, 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 amazing, hero, awesome, says to His disciples, I need to go away, because when I'm in your midst, I'm here, you are with me, but I am not in you. Before He ascended, He could not be in them. And He said, you need something better than me being with you. I'm just going to take off on this. I don't know if it's... I don't think I saw it to the depth that I just did. Like, oh my gosh, Jesus Himself saying, you need something in you. I, the perfect Son of God, the amazing one, the hero, the Savior, you need something in you. That cannot happen till I ascend. And once you have the Spirit in you, He will convict you of sin. He will convict you of righteousness. He will convict you of judgment. You will have that inside of you. And now, instead of trying to march behind somebody and keep step without hearing the drum, that's the funniest thing. There's always somebody in the band that just cannot hear the drummer. I mean, it's loud, but they still can't hear it. And because they have white shoes on or something that shows up, you're like, oh boy, that kid out there is not marching to the tune of this drummer. He's like trying to keep up, trying to, you know, too slow, too fast. But it's so true, till you hear that yourself, you're fast, you're slow, you're just trying to keep up with something. It's a horrible way to live your life, with watching somebody but not be able to hear what they're marching to, what they're walking to, what they're living to. We need to all get here to have the indwelling spirit. I'm not going to comfort you that you have it or you don't. I mean, I'm not going to give you the litmus test. But you either do or you don't. And don't try to convince yourself you do if you don't. Don't try to convince yourself that you don't if you do. We must stop this evaluation and evaluating ourselves. Get over yourself. Get your eyes on Jesus. He'll clear it all up. I know that's a little bit nerve-wracking. I guess you'll have to trust him that he will perfect you until the day of Jesus Christ. And we're like, I'm freaked out about my stuff. And Jesus would say, just chill. I called you. I went like this to you. You came. We began. I'll finish it. Really? Honest. Trust me. The father-in-law finally gives his heart to the Lord. And he knew all the stuff. It wasn't about knowing. You could not tell him more. He knew what salvation, what it was and what it wasn't. But that giving over of his heart, it took him all of his life. Mission accomplished. What else is there to do on this planet, actually? Have you thought about that? Because everything else is going to burn. Somebody said that this morning. Was it you, Di? Yeah. Early in our little pre-meeting meeting. Eventually, you're going to have to give up everything anyways. Wow. You need to have the Spirit. When he comes, you'll start getting peaceful. When he comes and you start fellowshipping with the Spirit, the arguing will stop. The competing will stop. The condemnation. I mean, back to this Q&A that we watched online. John Bevere, I'm telling you, all these guys are like up here, sitting on the rafters, you know. Like, I'm impressed with all of them, I'll just say that. And John Bevere hears Mike Bickle say something, and he goes, oh my God, I'm feeling very carnal right now. Like, I'm not like that. Mike's like, no, don't compare yourself to me. This isn't a discipline of how I live my life and something I do. This is not a discipline. This is what I love to do. This is what I love to do. Give me time alone. This is what I love to do. So don't, that's why I don't want to tell you this, you know? I don't want to talk about it. I don't want you to be under condemnation because this is me. This is what I'm called to. This is what I do. I don't want you, it was just funny watching them. Here they are, full-blown accomplished leaders, and that thing comes, that competition comes, and they look at each other like, I'm not like that. When you go, oh, Lord, so it's not just me. Have you ever gone to anything? I mean, conferences. I used to go to conferences and get so depressed. I should have just stayed home. And it was over this issue. I never felt like I added up. And I get up enough courage to go to the conference and then get killed every time. Like a little bit in, a day or it only took a day or two. I was so crashed. I'm like, somebody needs to call an ambulance. I just couldn't get it back up. Because I never, it made me feel shame, and it makes you never feel like you're enough. It's like, wow. So it doesn't matter how good you do. If that's still in place, you'll find someone that's doing it better, that can run faster, jump higher, make more money, have more stuff, have more accomplishments, know Jesus better, which causes you to feel like you're, and Jesus is like, stop, don't do that. I love you just the way you are. Will you just chill out? Let me work in your life. I love your journey. Just so this all works out well at the end, I'm good. I'm good with it. We'll work with that. Just stop. I can't help you if you're overwrought with comparing and trying to keep up and trying to do it like somebody else, trying to do it better than somebody else. Give it up. Just be. What would you look like if you just got up today and walked out and went, huh, I think I'm going to be okay with myself today. Because the Spirit will convict you, and when He convicts you, it's sweet. Because He just touches something, you go, oh, I'm sorry. Cool, go and sin no more. It's over. It's over. But this other thing, this condemnation, hits us, and this competing thing and this comparison thing and this envy that sets in and jealousy, all that wicked, nasty stuff, you can't feed that. And you can't live a life to try to, we do, try to avoid the feelings. So you dress yourself up a little better. Okay, you spend more money on those clothes or on those shoes. And sure enough, somebody, you go to the wedding, you go somewhere, somebody looks better than you do. It's going to happen. Probably the bride and groom. When the Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. I'm like, whoa. The Spirit is taking what is given to Jesus, and He's sharing it with you. The Spirit is taking what belongs to, has been given to Jesus. He's allowed to do this. He's taking what's given to Jesus and sharing it with you, imparting it in you. Wow. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal that to us. What the Spirit wants to give you, what He's coming, is it's vintage stuff. It's like what's given to Jesus to share with you. And so all that bad talk that you have about yourself, I'd encourage you to pull up a little bit. Because that violates this. When the Spirit of truth comes, you're getting good things. So I'd say we have other issues, and it's not about who or what we actually are or how we're doing. It's about whether we're accepting this truth or whether we're fighting it and resisting it and trying to prove, I don't have that, I'm not that, I'm not patient, I'm not kind, I'm not moral, I'm not whatever. As the Spirit's bringing what belongs to Jesus, and he's glorifying Jesus through that. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. So the Spirit's wanting, will you cooperate with this for a change? Just sit down and receive it. Just stop fighting. Stop fussing. You ever tell your children that? Stop. Will you stop squirming? I need to give you your medicine. I need to help you. I need to fix this. I need to take, oh, a splinter. Oh, my God. You know. You know, just stop. We don't have to go to the emergency room. We don't have to cut your finger off. I'm just going to get that out. Remember how hard it was to trust mom, dad? They're coming at you with a needle or something to get something out. You think it's the end of your life? Like, wow. Just give it a hang on. Trust. One day when I was, all of a sudden a memory came back to me. I have to share it. I was in, I must have only been 4 or 5 years old, little. And it was in the garage that my dad had built on Mayfair Road in Uniontown, Ohio. I'm up in the rafters. My dad had been up there and got down, and then he went like this to me. It wasn't a game. It was like, I need to help you get down. He could get down, but I couldn't. It was way too big. And he needed me to just jump a little. It wasn't that high, but just to jump a little ways and jump into his arms. Wow. I had a dilemma. He couldn't reach me, and I couldn't trust that he was going to catch me. That was bad. I don't know how I got down, but I remember it being it was some time. He probably got frustrated and had to do something else. I don't know. Is Jesus doing this to you? And you need to just take a little step into the air to get into his arms. We're stuck in this moment till you let go, till you slip off. Trust, so simple. I mean, Got to do it. We need the Spirit to come and fill us. We cannot be led by the Spirit if we don't have the Spirit. All we'll be led with, and this was 1 Corinthians chapter 2, talks about, do you have the Spirit of man or do you have the Spirit of Christ? If you have the Spirit of man, and this is how I left the denominational church I was in, I realized, oh, we've got answers for everything. We're putting out booklets about what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that. I mean, after all, if you put out a booklet, that's how it is. I had to come to this conclusion because I was very loyal. I had to come to this. And I found this scripture in 2 Corinthians 2. The whole chapter talks about this. I went, oh my gosh. What we have is just this, the wisdom of man. We got it all figured out, all the rules and the hows and not hows, but we don't have the Spirit of God. And so we talk to each other out of the spirit of man, and it all makes sense to us as we're sitting in our little church arguing these things and being against everything. It was mostly that. And especially the Spirit. It was exactly over that issue. We were against the very thing that was in the passage that said, if you have the Spirit of man, you're not going to get this. You need an upgrade, or you're going to be stuck with your reasoning. You're going to be stuck with your logic. And it may be you can be right till you're dead, but you won't be. Be convinced that it's right, but until you receive the Spirit so you can perceive the things of the Spirit, you have to make that transition. You have to receive the Spirit. And once his Spirit is in you, he'll lead you to all truth and everything will become different. I'm going to close with this today and then we'll take some time for ministry. Wow, I think we have some things to touch today. So get some ministry music ready back there. Whatever that is, that's a tall order, huh, Samuel? And Psalms 23, don't even turn there because I want you to just kind of receive this. This is out of the Passion Translation, so you won't even recognize it. But this is Psalms 23, guarantee. I need a new book of Psalms because I wore this one out. It's falling apart on me. I can't wait till they come out with a leather edition, but see, it says Psalms 23. God is my fierce protector and provider. This was David. This is his meditation. This is just rolling out of his lips, man. I always have more than enough. Like a shepherd, he finds a resting place for me in his luxury love. His tracks take me to the quiet brooks of bliss and oasis of grace. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure, leading me along his footsteps of righteousness. So the leading of the Spirit will be leading in his footsteps. After all, the Spirit is taking what is given to Jesus from the Father and sharing it with you. What he wants to give you is what is given to Jesus, and then he has the authority to bring that and give that to you, impart that to you. Now, that's a truckload of whatever. Wisdom. Do you understand all the problems in the world? There's wisdom for it. There's wisdom for all the problems of our world, for racism, for all the issues. You know what all the stuff's going on. And we look at that and we blame it on end times. Please stop doing that. End times is a promise for us, but it's a death sentence for the world. So just be careful how you think about it. If you're convinced that everybody's saved that's going to get saved, then sure. But we're not there yet. I'm telling you, we're not there. We're not there. And until we're taken off the planet, we need to be an influence, and we're carrying answers. If the Spirit's in you, you're carrying wisdom, you're carrying insight. Stuff that cannot come from education, some stuff that cannot come from degrees, stuff that cannot come from governmental, political positions. It's the church, the hidden church. Those we tap into true wisdom. We've got it all. We've got wisdom. We understand how to love. We understand how to have compassion. We know how to. We actually know how to judge righteously. We know how to bring justice. We know what justice looks like. I mean, it's a great day. Hollywood's falling apart. So great. It's awesome. And it's great because it's been filled. I mean, the testimonies now, the people are coming forth with horrid stuff. The very people that we're watching and listening to is bad. Their secret lives are horrible. Horrid. The injustices, I'm talking satanic horrible. And then we watch and we're like, wow. And we look at them, we want to be like them, please. No, stop. We carry the real thing. We carry the real stuff. Our little church has more stuff. Every little gathering of believers that comes together is where real love is, the real essence and substance of life. Family is more important than fame and fortune. I mean, really. And now the testimonies are coming out. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. It's awesome. He leads me. Follow us so that I can bring honor to his name. Even when his path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will not conquer me, for you already have. There's a word for today. Be conquered by Jesus. Just let him come in finally and whoop you. Stop wrestling. Stop fighting. Just let him throw you down on the mat and pin you. It'll be the greatest feeling. It's true surrender. That's the word. It's all the song. I surrender. Beautiful surrender. Yeah, what does he want to fill you with? What does he want to do today? What does he want to do? What's he want to do? Let's be sensitive. I just want you to all receive, anybody that needs to receive something to receive today. And amen. Maybe you just need to. You know, there's never an end, no matter what you've received from the Lord. It's not good to get saved and go, okay, I'm there. To get filled with the Spirit and say, okay, got that. It's not a checklist, folks. You don't, like, check, check, sanctified, check. Like, it's process. I got news for you. Some of you poor, pathetic souls are still being saved. Actually, all of us. It ain't over. It's a process that's still going on, and I'm good with that. Thank you, Jesus. I'm still being filled. Spirit falls on me in ways I cannot explain. But every time and the more it happens, the more I'm changed. I have no understanding for that. In His Spirit, and this sensation comes over me that sometimes I'm actually embarrassed about, but it just keeps, it's fracking is the only term I have for it. It's fracking. It's like, boom, boom, you know, opening up my soul so that the good stuff can get in. The good stuff can, you know, come like to open me up so that I'm a come up a well. It's to bring forth what's deep inside of me.